When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians shut out the Rangers 3-0 yesterday in Surprise, Arizona. The real story of the game, Shane Bieber looks really good, really solid. Four innings of shutout ball, only allows a couple of hits, strikes out four. And Chase DeLauder, making the most of the opportunities he's getting to play in major league games in spring training camp. He hits a home run, a two-run home run, has another base hit in the game, and is looking like he's putting together professional at-bats pretty much every time he gets up there and gets a chance to put himself on tape for the coaches. What did you take away from yesterday's win for the Guardians, and just the way that their pitching dominated the world champions, who had a lot of their starting guys out there in the lineup?
Yeah, Joe, just a good overall game by the Guardians. A good sign if you're Steven Vogt that this team is, starting to play together, starting to play the way they're going to have to play to win. And they get a rare home run. So, that's good, too. And DeLauder just really impressive, Joe. He gets, a single and a home run off two veteran lefties, Andrew Heaney and Danny Duffy. So that's a good sign. This kid has had a great spring. He is hitting .467, two home runs, four RBIs. And, does he make it or does he not make the 26-man roster? I still think it's going to be kind of a tight fit for him to do it, but he is certainly making a case for himself.
Well, if he does make the 26-man opening day roster, and if there's a possibility for him to do that, then that does mean they'll have to cut somebody loose. They will have to lose somebody right now because – you got Estevan Florial out there who is out of options. They would have to expose him to waivers to keep him. But right now, name a hitter right now who's hotter or more reliable in Guardians camp in a situation where he gets up there, just doesn't feel a lot of pressure, just goes up there and does what he's used to doing. And the results are speaking for themselves right now. Chris Valleca after the game, praised him for, the way he works in between, games and in between the at-bats and all the little things that he's doing. He says he doesn't look like a guy who's only, played in fewer than 100 professional games. He looks like a guy who's taking a veteran approach to things. And you've got to like hearing that about a guy who's, less than 2 years out of college.
Yeah, Joe, this is a guy, A, isn't on the 40-man roster. B, they didn't invite to big league camp. C, was a member of the depth roster. And, he comes over, he plays a couple games with the big league club or, goes through some drills with the big league club, opens some eyes, and he's been here ever since. So, he's really kind of – he's made – that's called making an impression. So wherever he ends up, Joe – I think if the opportunity arises at some point this season, he should be up here, and the sooner the better, perhaps, because this is a team. If you look at this team overall, the prognosis isn't that great. But if you're gonna have a year like this, you might as well develop some players.
Yeah, 22 years old, 6'4", 235 pounds. So. He looks the part of a major leaguer already in terms of, physically. He's going to be able to endure, some things. And physically, there were questions early about the foot injuries and the things that kept him, from the top of the draft when they took him. But he seems to have answered all that. He seems like he's healthy and doing everything he needs to be doing, which is that's a step in the right direction. Before again in our pre show prep here when we were talking, we talked about the idea of does Chase DeLauter have to overcome 11 years of sort of a feeling of they wouldn't take a guy like in his position with them from spring training and on the opening day roster. In the old way of doing things with Tito and I don't know how much of that was Tito and how much of that was Tito and Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff sort of agreeing, hey, this is the way I like to handle things with the young guys and not bring rookies from opening day or on the opening day roster that are in this position like this, especially a guy who's just got drafted 2 years ago. But maybe Steven Vogt's different. Maybe things are changed now, and maybe there's an opportunity for DeLauter to make the roster. Can he sort of overcome the automatic? We all went to the default of, well, there's no way that DeLauter makes the opening day roster because of what we're used to seeing with Tito. But maybe things are different.
And just talking to Chernoff and Antonetti leading up to spring training, that's what I heard from them, that, this is a kid, we love the kid, he's healthy, he had a great Arizona Fall League, it was the talk of the league out there, but, he still hasn't had enough at bats to be ready for the big leagues. And so that's and that's a great point, Joe. We don't know if this is the Francona brainwashing or is the vice versa, or if this was just how this thing worked out. But it seemed like every year there was an Oscar Mercado that was hitting 400 and would get sent down, and just because April can be cruel in Cleveland. We don't want, a kid to get buried in Cleveland. We want to bring him up in June or May or June when he's hot and he can hit the ground running. How many times have we heard that about hot hitting players from spring training? So we'll have to see if that philosophy has changed.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I mean, that philosophy worked for Tito for a while. I mean, it was frustrating maybe for some people who wanted to see some of these younger guys up earlier in the season, but that philosophy worked for a good long time, and he was very successful with it. So we're not necessarily criticizing it. It's just that we just automatically went to that default in our minds of, well, this is the way it's going to be. And maybe Chase DeLauter is the one who comes and breaks that mold. I mean, you mentioned Stephen Kwan back in 2022, breaking camp with the club as a rookie and getting an opportunity to play. And, so there are examples of guys who, sort of went against that. But that's rare. And it was not an opportunity, not a lot of opportunities for that under Tito. Maybe Steven Vogt wins an argument in his first, season and say, puts his foot down and says, nope, he's coming with us. That's it. I have to have him. I guess the idea of, Cherney and Antonetti not letting a guy like Shane Bieber back in the day, come up to major league camp when he was in the low minors, because, if Tito saw him, he might try to win an argument there and bring him along earlier than he did. Maybe we've already seen that sort of revolution because DeLauter's been with the major league camp for as long as he has. So speaking of guys who have been with the major league camp for as long as they have, we did finally see some cuts yesterday. They cut the roster all the way down to 51, Hoynesy. So, we are almost to the middle of March and they've got 51 guys in camp. I don't think Steven Vogt likes letting guys go right now. The cuts included John Kenzie Noel and Jonathan Rodriguez, two of the guys who They were sort of looking for younger guys looking for to see if they could inject some power into the lineup. Both those guys will open the season with AAA Columbus, as well as Joey Cantillo and Juan Brito. Cantillo, I think, you know, there's an opportunity there for him to join the rotation at some point, perhaps later on this season. Brito obviously just needs to continue to get at bats at the AAA level, but you can tell that they really like him. And then the other guys that that were sent down were all minor leaguers who were in camp. And this would have been the position where DeLauder would have gotten, you know, sent down. These guys are all minor leaguers who were in major league camp, who were reassigned to the minor league camp. Franco Aleman, Nick Enright, Mason Hickman, Michael Berglund, and Eric Rodriguez. So three pitchers and two catchers there. And, you know, DeLauder any other year would have been with that group, sent down to minor league camp and said, okay, start your season, get going, you know, get all the work in. You guys are the focus down there. But maybe this is the sign that he's being given that chance to stay with the major league club.
Yeah, Joe, and this isn't just DeLauder, but it's, you know, Kyle Manzardo and his Angel Martinez. You know, could one of those guys, one of those three, make the big league club? I mean, they certainly have played well enough. And yeah, you know, there's a danger of getting fooled in spring training. You know, that's the thing you always have to remember. You know, you don't base decisions or roster decisions solely on spring training decisions or spring training performances. If you do that, you make mistakes. But, you know, these three guys have really, really played well. And, you know, right now they have openings. Maybe DeLauder, I guess there's, you know, they feel pretty good in right field, you know, with the platoon of Laureano and Will Brennan. But, you know, DeLauder could play center field and, you know, Manzardo could play first base and be the DH. And, you know, Angel Martinez can certainly, right now he's showing better than his shortstops in camp, or he could, you know, push Tyler Freeman for the utility job.
So there on the position side of things, those are the battles that you just pointed out right there. It's clear Chase DeLauder is in pretty much direct competition right now with Esteban Florial for that spot. It's one of those two guys is going to get that fifth outfielder spot, Chase DeLauder or Esteban Florial. You know, they could cut DeLauder, you know, this afternoon, and they could send him down to minor league camp, and no one would be surprised about it. But if you're Esteban Florial, he's the guy you got to be looking over your shoulder at in center. And you talked about Manzardo, Davis and De Los Santos. Both sort of jockeying right for that position of, you know, first base. You know, Dale Santos can play the outfield too, but really first base DH, that kind of spot to back up Josh Naylor. Those guys are competing there. And I don't think enough of – we're certainly not talking enough about Angel Martinez and the outstanding camp that he's had so far. It just, you know, he looks like he's ready to hit in the major leagues right now. What are the chances that he overtakes either Gabriel Arias or Brian Rocchio, who I think are, you know, enter the camp in position where everybody thought it was just a two-man race?
Yeah, that's really the exciting thing about this camp. I mean, Martinez, a switch hitter. He's always been considered a sleeper, Joe, and all those, you know, middle infielders that they've signed over the years. This is a guy that, you know, always has kind of been on the fringe, but he's really coming to the surface right now. He's having a great spring, and it's not like, you know, he's a spring chicken, you know. I mean, this guy has had he's played a lot in the minor leagues. You know, he's got a lot of at-bats. I mean, if a guy is ready for the big leagues, I would think out of, you know, probably DeLauder and Manzardo and Martinez, it would be Martinez.
Yeah, and he's only 22 years old. That's the crazy thing. Right now in spring training games, 23 at-bats. He's hitting .478 with a .1413 OPS, 7 RBIs, couple of home runs, 11 total hits. I mean, he's done everything that you could possibly ask of a guy at at his position, at his time in his career, to try and make a roster. And if there's an opening, if there's an opportunity, they've got to try and get him on there. It also just highlights how much of a struggle it's been for Gabriel Arias, for Brian Rocchio so far during the spring. Both of those guys have struggled to play. Arias missed a bunch of time with the virus that's been going around the clubhouse. Just where do we see the shortstop competition shaking out?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, it's still going to be one of those two guys. I think, it's going to be Arias or Rocchio. Martinez, to me, if he was really one of their main shortstops, he would have played a lot more shortstop than he did last season. But he was bouncing around between second, third, and short. Now, obviously, they had to make time for Rocchio, he was ahead. Rocchio was ahead of him in the pecking order. So, I think it's still got to be one of those two guys, but I think Martinez is right on the bubble, Joe. If he doesn't, he could be the utility guy. He could be one of the first call-ups from Columbus.
Yeah, but you also can't overlook what Tyler Freeman has done with his ability to go out and play center field and, bounce around anywhere on the infield as well. He's having a tremendous training camp as well. Gabriel Arias batting 188. With a 528 OPS, Brian Rocchio batting 130 with a 341 OPS. All of that, momentum that he had from winter ball, he's gotten 23 at bats so far in the Cactus League. He has three hits, and is just not productive so far.
I don't know, Joe. Maybe he played a little too much of winter ball. Maybe he came to camp a little tired. He didn't have enough time to recover. Who knows? But and perhaps the pressure of the competition at shortstop. He knew coming in that the job was his to win, and that's hard to play with sometimes. I've seen so many spring training competitions where there isn't a winner at the end of camp, and and they have to make a decision just because of this. You've only got 25, 30 games. You're going to get 40 to 50 at bats to prove you've won a decision. You've won a position. That's hard to do.
Yeah. I mean, you got to put yourself in Rocchio's position. He spent the whole winter, competing and, in those intense, almost like playoff situations all down the stretch there with his Venezuelan winter ball team, and then goes to the Caribbean World Series. And, that's an intense, it's just a different kind of baseball. I'm not saying it's anything like Major League Baseball playoff level, but you're still, it's very competitive. And then to come to spring training where everything is more relaxed, it's sort of hard to reprime the pump and get things going. Certainly if a Major League Baseball starting shortstop job is in front of you, I gotta wonder why he couldn't just sort of get things to respond here. That's the shortstop competition, the shortstop battle. That's where that is. The best way to stay updated on all of those competitions and battles is Subtext, our subscription texting service. Goes directly to your cell phone. Hoynsey and me every day send out texts with updates. As soon as we know more cuts and what the roster is going to look like, we send them out to you. You sign up for $3.99 a month at cleveland.com/subtext or send a text message to 216-208-4346 to join Guardian Subtext. We'd love to have you there. Hoynsey, don't want to overlook what Shane Bieber and the pitching staff did in yesterday's game. Bieber was he was sharp. He looked pretty good. Four innings, four strikeouts, a walk, two hits allowed. Got help from some double plays, but that was a vintage Shane Bieber spring training outing. I think this is a guy who, if you count the days, if you count by five all the way up until opening day, he's in line right now to be Cleveland's opening day starter. And, if this is what they're going to get out of him, they should be pretty excited.
Yeah, he's had a really good spring. You could see this coming, Joe, in his last start against Oakland that got washed out. after two innings, you know, but he still had pitched well. And he was, I think he was just building toward a start like this. This is the best he's looked all spring. And just four shutout innings. And then you got to like the way the bullpen came out. You know, Barlow, Heron, Smith, Ghost, and then Burns, you know, what, five scoreless innings behind them to complete the shutout, the five-hit shutout. So just a really a good all-around day from the pitching side of things for Steven Vogt.
Yeah, and to sort of see the relievers come in behind Bieber and just not give up anything. You know, I think what, three total hits, like you said there, among the final five guys to go out there. You know, and granted, it again, you're pitching later in the game, you're pitching against minor leaguers and all that, but you know, you still got to go out there and finish the innings, and they all did that. A guy like you know Tim Heron needs to have some solid outings like that in order to sort of secure his spot on the roster.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Heron has pitched well. He's had a good spring. Cade Smith has pitched well. It was good to see Anthony Ghost come out and then get a scoreless inning. He's kind of had some, you know, he's had some problems a little bit, you know, coming back from the Tommy John. And a Barlow, that's the best Barlow has looked all spring. He is, you know, he's kind of been that kind of classic veteran guy, kind of just easing into this thing. But he was sharp yesterday.
How concerned are we about Scott Barlow's velocity, or is that anything that we need to worry about at this point?
I don't think it's anything to worry about. He's a breaking ball pitcher, Joe. He kind of goes about it the opposite way of, you know, most relievers. He's not throwing 95, 96, 97 miles an hour. He's kind of an off speed guy. So I don't think that's a problem.
Yeah. And then you bring in, Heron and Cade Smith behind him, who are both like, you know, 6'7" and throw 100 miles an hour. So it's got to be fun to be a major league hitter sometimes in these games when these guys come out there and Barlow's throwing just absolute crazy junk, and then these guys come in and you can't even blink. So all right, we said Tanner Bibee is on the mound today against the Cubs in Goodyear. You know, that's another opportunity for Bibee to go out there. And we don't have any updates so far on Gavin Williams, where he is in terms of getting back to throwing after experiencing a sort of a tweak with his elbow. I don't know. You know, I'm hoping to hear from Steven Vogt at some point, you know, today about Williams and get an update on where he is. And what the approach is, but that's sort of, you're in a holding pattern, you know, with your rotation until you find out exactly where Williams is.
Yeah, Joe, they haven't announced the starters past today, you know, who's going to start, you know, the rest of the games this week, you know, going into the weekend. So I guess they're waiting on Williams, and, you know, the Guardians note said he was going to be retested in the next couple of days. So I guess we've got to wait to see how that goes.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. Hoynsy, we'll check back in with you tomorrow and get an update. Hopefully we'll know more about Williams' elbow and where he stands and where the Guardians stand moving forward.
Good deal, Joe.